All right, so last Sunday I spoke about the dangers of only going through the motions. You know, I firmly believe that this is an all too common problem in the American church. We have too many people who want a relationship with both God and the world, which is impossible. So they settle for a relationship with the church. Not the same thing. Without true repentance, these people are doomed to an eternity in hell. So since last week was about the problem of trying to fool others about by our outward appearance, this week I want to address how we often work to fool ourselves by not being honest about what's really inside of us. I am talking about that stranger that lives inside of us that we hide from others and often hide from ourselves. Before we get into this sermon, I want you to be praying during this sermon, and I want you all to just be ready for what you hear, because I don't know, I'm going to tell you now, a lot of times I can see the problem that the Holy Spirit lays on my heart to do the sermon about. I do not know exactly who this pertains to, except I believe it probably pertains to all of us to a certain extent. So be ready. Be open. Be willing to learn something. But let us pray before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this time that we are together in your house, Lord, where we can study your word together as a family, where we can grow together, learn together, Lord, just be able to become more and more like you as we go through our daily walk here on this earth, Lord. We just ask you to give us the strength that we need to continue to grow closer to you, Lord, so we can be more like you, so we can be the light to the world that is so badly needed. Lord, help us as we study this to open our hearts and our minds. And Lord, help me as I present this message that is given in a way that brings honor and glory to you. And we ask all this in your Son's precious name. Amen. All right, so the first thing I want to do, I want to talk about a recent survey that found 81% of Americans think that people are inherently good. 81%. Now, that tells me Satan is really succeeding well on the entire pride idea. If you believe that you're good and everybody's good, that's a problem. He's winning the battle for our society. And, you know, the Bible clearly says in Romans that there is no one who does not fall short of the glory of God. None of us are good. Our population does not have the right ruler to measure goodness with. They don't. If they would compare it to the goodness of God, we'd realize how far we fall short. But we don't. That's not what society looks at. They're just looking to see if people are nice or not. 46%, or almost half of the American people, believe that they are the best person they know. Now, there's a lot of pride right there to believe you are the best person you know. That means you're better than everybody else. It also shows that people are not striving to be like Jesus. They just want to be better than the person next to them. That's their goal. That should never be a goal of a Christian. The goal of a Christian is to be better than you were yesterday. So every day you grow closer to God. Doesn't matter what the person next to you does, because the person next to you didn't set the bar very high. I'm going to tell you that. If you judge goodness by other people, the bar is never set very high. People are inherently evil, and even good people have problems. So how did people get this inflated self-image, this image of self? How did that happen? Well, it's simple. They're just not honest about that stranger that lives within them. They're just not honest about that. Now, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirits that are indwelling Christians, and I'm not talking about one of Satan's demons that possesses the unsaved. I'm just talking about your inner self. That part of your being that you don't show to anybody. Everybody has this. It's not uncommon. This is the part where we are not honest with ourselves about who we really are. And as we go into the sermon, you'll see how this comes out. You can compare this to your outlook when you're doing something you enjoy that takes a certain skill, things you're good at. You'll base your self-worth on things you're good at. Michael Jordan, without a doubt, one of the best basketball players of all time, only scored 45.7% of the time. He shot a two-pointer. That's a two-pointer. 45.7% was his average. His percentage was even worse on three-pointers. He hit 31.5%. Baseball was even worse. Babe Ruth's batting average was a whopping 34.2%. That means he hit the ball 34% of the times. 34 out of 100 times he hit the ball. We consider him one of the greats. When you look at these stats the other way, Michael Jordan misses 54.3% of the time, and Babe Ruth misses 65.8% of the time. These are the greats. I bet if you ask these men what happened, well, they didn't hit very well, or they didn't score very well, they would say, I had an off day. I was off. They assume the norm is the greatness, and the exception is the bad day. And that seems somewhat funny, but we do the same thing. We think that when we are good, it is normal, and when we are bad, it is the exception. Think about that. What if they kept averages on that? What if somebody just walked around and was able to tally every bad thing you did in a day, every bad thought you had, every bad action, every bad word, all that? What if they just walked around and tallied that up? You would have so many chances a day of doing the right thing, but what would your batting average be? How well would you be at the score? What would it look like at the end of the day? The problem is we are not honest with ourselves, and as a result, our true nature, our true self, is sometimes a stranger to us. Now, we all know who Paul is. Paul, clearly, one of the Christian greats, without a doubt. He wrote more books in the Bible than anybody. He did an awful lot to correct doctrinal errors and theological errors that were popping up in churches. It's where we get a very deep understanding of what it means to be a Christian today. It comes from Paul. But Paul, you got to look at what he wrote in his first letter to Timothy. The particular verse I want you to see is 1 Timothy 1. It's verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Jesus Christ, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul considered himself to be the worst sinner of all time. Now, he did do some terrible things before coming to Christ, but when he came to Christ, he became a changed man. He was very, very much changed. He could have bragged about how great he was and all that he accomplished for the Lord, but he was honest about his true character, or that stranger that lived inside of him. In Paul's case, the stranger was not unknown to him. In fact, he explained how the stranger inside of us works. He wrote what I consider to be the most confusing passage in the Bible. And it's not because it's some deep dissertation on doctrine or theology. It's just the way it's written. But it does expose how our sin nature, or the stranger inside of us, works. It is 5 verses long. It's found in Romans 7, starts at 15. Here we go. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You all got that? There'll be a test on that later. That is, when you look at it, you see his point. It's obvious. Just the way it is written, the way they translate that into the King James English, sometimes it just seems a little confusing, hard to keep up with. But the message is clear. It is the message that the flesh that dwelleth inside us leads us to do things which we should not do. And not only that, it tries to keep us away from the things that we are supposed to be doing. That is the stranger inside that we do not like to believe is there. We like to believe that we are good. Like an athlete, we believe that our being good is normal, and the bad things we do are the exception. However, we are told in 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. It is obvious from this passage, or from that verse and other verses like it, that God frowns upon our thoughts. He compares our thoughts to the actual commission of the sin. It's because he wants us to understand that our heart is naturally bent toward evil. It is bent toward doing the wrong thing. That's what it's about. Our hearts are always wanting us to do wrong, I believe. It's that change of heart that comes from being a Christian that creates that inner struggle in us. So, now you may think this sermon doesn't apply to you because you are busy, right? Actually, I hope it doesn't apply to you, to tell you the truth. Last week, I hoped it did, or I hoped it stepped on your toes somehow. This week, I hope you really, that you are honest with yourself. You may think that you know the stranger inside, that you always confess your sins and ask God for help doing better in the future, but you need to look a little closer at that. No matter how rotten the sins have been that you have confessed to, no matter how bad they were you completely truthful with God when you went to confession? When you went to that time of confession with God, were you honest about it all? Is there an habitual sin that you keep pretending to be contrite over, heartbroken over? Yet, like a dog returning to its vomit, is how the Bible classified as that. You keep going back. Or is there a sin so bad that you dare not speak at all, believing that you can keep it from God, that God won't know about it as long as you never ask it? Forgiveness for it. No reason to bring that up, guys. No reason to bring that up. Numbers 32:23 tells us to be sure that our sin will find us out. And Romans 14:12 says, so that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Don't think you're going to get away with it for long. C.S. Lewis said, we imply and often believe that habitual vices are exceptional single acts and make the opposite mistake about our virtues. Does that sound like you? Are you being truly honest about who you truly are? Or do you have this stranger living inside you that you keep hidden? I don't know. Is there a side to you that you don't even like to show yourself? Do you believe that keeping that side hidden, or by keeping that side hidden, that it just doesn't exist? I will ignore it, and I won't acknowledge it's there. That way it's not real. If so, you're wrong. You can't do that. You will be held accountable for this. Won't it be embarrassing to have that side that you've never asked forgiveness for to be exposed by God when you stand before the throne one day? Because he's going to ask you about it. Believe me when I say it will happen if we do not confess those sins so we can be forgiven. Hebrews tells us that God chooses not to remember our sins if we have repented of them. And Psalm tells us that he removes them as far as the east is from the west. Now that's forever. I don't know if you ever heard that explained. I've explained it before. I can go north till I reach North Pole, then I go south. And I can go south till I reach South Pole, then I go north. But I can go east forever. I can go west forever. I never reach east. I can go east. And no matter where I'm at, there's always something further east from me. He separates as far as the east is from the west. That's how far he'll separate you from a sin that you've confessed to. Those you haven't confessed to, he wants to talk to you about. The key to avoid having to explain them and being held accountable for them is to confess them. And it's easier said than done because we really do want to believe we are better than we are. All of us. It's human nature. Christians included in that, by the way. And until we are honest with ourselves, we cannot be honest with God. You have to be honest with yourself first. The only way to get to the bottom of the sin we have in our lives and in our hearts is found in Psalm 139. This entire psalm is based upon the fact that no one knows us better than God, our Creator. And I'm going to start reading verse 23. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. I have said before that this has to be the bravest prayer ever offered. You're going to give God unfettered access to every aspect of your life. Are you ready for that? Maybe. Sounds easy. But how many of you all would need at least a 24-hour notice that Jesus was coming to visit you at your house? How much time would you have to clean your house up for? I'm not talking about the dirt. I'm talking about the things shouldn't be in there. What would you think if Jesus to stop by your house and wanted to look in every cupboard, every drawer, every closet, under every bed, throughout your entire house? Is it open to his inspection? Is there anything in there you need to get rid of? Movies, magazines, drinks, art, sculptures. I've seen Christians don't have a problem having a statue of Buddha in their house. Do you have something in your house Jesus wouldn't like? Would you need time if he was going to come visit? Now, think of how invasive that search is. How would you like to get God to show up at your house one day and just start rummaging through all the drawers? Wouldn't that be weird? It would be, we would consider that extremely invasive. You allow Jesus to do it, it would be invasive, but we should be able to do that. But think of every aspect of your life. Everything you've ever done, everything you've ever said, every thought you've ever had. Are you willing to let Jesus review that with you and tell you where you were wrong? And if you are you willing to go to him for forgiveness? Not to ask about that. He wants to search everything. So are you an open book before the Lord? Are you willing to sacrifice every aspect of your being to him? Because by opening your life that way, that's what you're saying. Lord, I give it all to you. Find my problems. Help me fix them. Some of us won't live long enough to fix every problem we have, probably. But you know what? At least we're on the right track. Sin is like a cancer. Are you willing to go have it cut out of your life, no matter how much you love that sin or no matter how much it'll cost you to give it up? I've said before, and I'll keep saying it, He not only expects complete surrender, he expects it. I mean, he requires it. It's required. You can't go to God and ask forgiveness for some things and not all things. You're still unforgiven is what you are. You can't go to God and say, God, I'd like to make you Lord of my life and all this stuff, but this stuff I'm keeping over here. You get to be Lord 90% of the time. I get to be in charge 10% of the time. Or, to be honest with you, how I suspect most people today do it, God, you get to be in charge 10% of the time. And I'll keep the 90. We have a tendency not to go to God until we've screwed it up so bad we don't know what else to do with it. And all of this has a direct bearing on our integrity. How can we be honest with God when we are not even honest with ourselves? Integrity is living a life that matches our profession of faith. And that includes being honest in all things. Integrity is not an option for Christians because it is a reflection of our commitment to God. Trying to hide sin from God is not worth the peace that it cost you. Think about that. When you try to hide sin from God, you rob yourself of peace is what you're doing. You do not get the peace that comes from being forgiven. It is definitely not worth the pain or the embarrassment that will be yours when you stand before him. And I know it doesn't matter if there's millions of people standing around you and your private stuff just got exposed to them all. That's not going to phase you at all. What you're going to be embarrassed about is how far you failed. How you held on to something and didn't give it to God to be forgiven. You'll be embarrassed by your lack of commitment and willingness to be completely surrendered to God. Pray for God's help and strength to face up to and confess the sin that is in the way of your growth in the Lord. That's what you have to do. Whenever we deny the truth about our sins, we fail to come to repentance. That's all. Anybody ever think about that? When we fail to be truthful about our sins, we fail to come to repentance of our sins. The day you decide to stop hiding your sin from God will change your life. That day will change your life. The day that you say, all right, I'm done fighting. Let me give it all over to you, Lord. It's all yours. When I was younger, I got in trouble, and luckily, I had a cop pick me up that was actually friends with my dad. And we were in the car, and I said, can I talk to you off the record? And he said, sure. I said, what if it's not the only thing I've done wrong? He said, you need to confess to all of it right now. He said, because you're going to go before the judge. And you're a first timer. He said, you get out and we find something else you did 2 weeks later. Now you're the second time before the judge. He said, we find something else you did the third time before the judge. He said, you got to get it all out in the open and get it taken care of at one time. That is how it works in repentance. You got to take it all to God. You got to give it all to him. You got to throw yourself on his mercy. So that habitual sin you hang on to because you like it so well, or that one you hide because you're so embarrassed by it that you don't want anybody to know, you don't even want to talk about it with God. You got to get it out. Get a clean slate. Get started over. Surrender everything to God. Saints, you can take away from this, too many people are not interested in striving to be like Jesus. They just want to be better than the person next to them. And no matter how rotten your sins have been that you confessed to, have you been completely truthful? And until we are honest with ourselves, we cannot be honest with God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message, for your word. Lord, for just the truth that is contained in your word, how it can affect us and how it can impact us. And Lord, thank you for showing us things that will block our communication with you, that will stop us from being used by you. We will be on that fringe of your family, not actually in the midst of it working. Lord, help us to get past that point. And Lord, as we go into a time of an altar call, just anybody that needs to come forward, whether it's for salvation or to just come before you and repent, Lord, whatever it may be, I ask that you have the Holy Spirit work on them. Lord, watch over it all. We ask all this in your Son's precious name. Amen.